Welcome to this audio introduction to the New Vic and Northern Broadsides co-production of As You Like It, written by William Shakespeare and directed by Laurie Sansom. I'm Brenda Hennessy, and together with Pam Beach and Mim Bernard, we'll be describing the show on Saturday the 26th of February at 2:15. The first half lasts for 90 minutes, then there will be a 20-minute interval, followed by the second half, which lasts for 65 minutes. The touch tour will begin at 1:30, and we'll meet you in the foyer in front of the box office just before then. Laurie Sansom, Northern Broadsides Artistic Director, recently tweeted, "We're bringing our bold, refreshing style to Shakespeare's most musical and much-loved comedy with 12 fabulous Northern actors." And the New Vic publicity team announced, "As You Like It will be a colourful exploration of identity and transformation as the character's journey from a rigid atmosphere of the court to the fantastical, dreamlike world of the forest. As they discover the natural world and new truths, normal roles dissolve and assumptions are turned on their head as each person discovers all the world's a stage." It's a play full of energy and high spirits, a celebration of love and the natural world, and the celebration of difference, performed by a multicultural, gender-diverse cast. If you haven't visited the New Vic Theatre before, here's some information about the auditorium. The recently refurbished auditorium is a theatre in the round, with tiered seats in purple, rising all around a flat circular stage. Three evenly spaced tunnel-like entrances lead up onto the stage. Two are used by actors and audiences, and the third, slightly larger main entrance, is used only by actors. Thinking of a clock face, if the main entrance is at 12 o'clock, the other two entrances are at 4 and 8 o'clock. During the audio description, we will name the 4 o'clock entrance the right entrance and the 8 o'clock entrance the left entrance. By the main entrance at 1 o'clock, there is a section of acting space we call a notch. For As You Like It, a Baroque throne-like chair and a simpler chair may be set there. Behind the seating is a curved pathway known as the promenade. Five sets of aisle steps lead down from it to the stage. A balcony, edged with a safety barrier, is perched above the promenade. The safety barrier is decked with fairy lights. The aisles and promenade are used by both audience and actors. With COVID considerations in mind, row A, the front row of seating on the periphery of the stage, has been removed and black rails installed in front of row B, which now becomes the front row of audience seating. The pastoral setting of the Forest of Arden is reimagined by designer E.M. Parry. As we take our seats, non-toxic atmospheric smoke billows above us in the roof space. This will feature throughout the play, particularly in winter time. The first action takes place in the outdoor space at the court of Duke Frederick. The stage floor is set with tan-coloured floorboards radiating from the centre, forming formal hexagon patterns. The floor is set with two old-fashioned, freestanding wooden hat stands set a distance apart at 12 o'clock and 6 o'clock. Clothes may hang on these hat stands. Actors bring on more hat stands, held at all angles and heights, to create a performance of a dense moving pathway of trees, brambles and undergrowth. They set the hat stands down at random. The hat stands represent the trees in the Forest of Arden. Throughout the play, the hat stand trees will be repurposed, one as a weapon, grasped as a quarterstaff, one wrestled down as a slain stag, one carried aloft as a deer, and four set horizontally on the forest floor in the shape of a square, as the fold for the goats. Minimum furniture is used in this production. A low wooden stool with green padded top, a plain wooden stool and an oak bench with turned legs. A circular side table is set with drinks and glasses served from a hinged silver box. The forest floor is used to sit and sleep on. In the forest, a wicker basket holds a hodgepodge of crockery and cutlery, enamel mugs, pewter tankards, silver teapot, enamel bowl and mismatched plates. A rough-cut plank is set with food. A heavy-duty metal clothes rail on casters, hung with clothing, a turquoise suitcase and rucksacks, is dragged in from the main entrance. It eventually rests in the mouth of the right entrance and acts as a hedge-like thicket. Actors climb through to make their way into the forest. In the space above the stage hangs the forest canopy, a crisscross of washing lines, decked with the company's collection of costumes set on coat hangers, some hidden in pale grey, cream or black suit covers, like bats hanging with wings neatly folded, or like birds ready to take flight. The washing lines are lowered on two occasions to reach some changes of costume and to peg out washing from an oval-shaped galvanised wash tub. Above also hang strings of light bulbs, occasionally shedding a little starlight over the forest. The wrestling match scene is Fight Night, with MC using a microphone for announcements. It's loud. The bout takes place on a charcoal grey thick rubber wrestling match made up of 9 interlocking metre square sections. During the interval, most of the forest is cleared. 6 hat stand trees are set around a taller, sturdy, purpose-built hat stand fixed on a hexagonal plinth and secured to the centre of the forest floor. It has 4 legs. 2 concentric circles of bent wood surround and strengthen the 4 legs, allowing actors to step up as if rungs of a ladder. This represents a tall ancient oak. We will call this the oak. During continuous or fast-paced dialogue, we will not be able to fit in any audio description. If there's any action to describe, it may be given a little in advance. For Jaques' monologue, All the World's a Stage, actors will portray the 7 ages of man. As there will not be time to describe it during the performance, here is a brief description. As Jaques speaks, the outlaws will perform and create from garments and props the 7 ages of man. A cream-coloured all-in-one underwear suit hangs on a tree. It's swiftly rolled up and cuddled as the infant mewling and puking. It's unrolled to shape the profile of the whining schoolboy. It's held against an outlaw. A school cap is added. The outlaw paces slowly. It's thrown to drape the neck of the lover who embraces another outlaw. Then it's a bandage tightly wrapped around one arm of an injured soldier who's comforted by the Duke. The bandage unfurled is draped against an outlaw's body as the justice. A suitable wig is magicked, and the justice pats his belly. For the last 2 ages, 2 outlaws hold the underwear between them, as if standing 3 abreast. Spectacles and joke teeth fashion the face, and a pouch is held at the waist. These props removed separately, as Jaques says, sans teeth, sans eyes, sans taste. Finally, they let go the underwear. It drops, leaving a void between them, sans everything. Before the start of the second half, as the audience take their seats, 2 actors return to the stage to chat informally. We'll describe their actions. Then, when the house lights fade, we'll describe the second half. I'll now hand you over to Pam, who'll describe the characters and costumes.
Without disclosing the entire plot, let me first tell you the beginning of the story to set the scene with the main characters. Duke Senior has been forced into exile from the usurping Duke Frederick. He takes refuge in the forest with a band of faithful folk. Rosalind, his daughter, is held uneasily at court as a companion to her cousin Celia, Frederick's daughter. Orlando Du Bois, son of the late Sir Roland Du Bois, has been kept in poverty by his elder brother Oliver since their father's death. Orlando decides to wrestle for his fortune at Frederick's court, where he sees Rosalind and they fall in love. The Duke then banishes Rosalind. Celia, refusing to be parted from her cousin, goes with her to seek refuge in the forest. For safety, they disguise themselves. Rosalind as a boy, Ganymede, and Celia as his shepherdess sister, Aliena. They persuade the court clown, Touchstone, to accompany them. The tale unfolds for us by 12 actors, some playing several parts, wearing a multitude of diverse costumes, some high fashion. The multiple costume changes reflect their journeys of self-discovery and trying on different identities. Seasonal weather, how characters feel and relate to each other, clothes they find and what they choose determine changes in what they wear. We first meet the slim, dark-haired brothers, Oliver and Orlando. Smartly dressed Oliver is taller than his younger brother, has a neat moustache and beard, and his long hair is gathered in a top knot. He's being fitted for his suit of black trousers with a purple side stripe and black and purple jacket and waistcoat, worn with a black satin shirt, yellow tie and black boots. Orlando, in contrast, is fitness training, wearing a zipped black sleeveless hoodie over vests, black joggers, beanie hat and white trainers. His hair is short and facial hair just a little stubble. Their father's trusted old servant Ada is with Orlando. Grey-haired and full-figured, Ada wears a cream wool cardigan over a green patterned wool wrap overall, a green tweed skirt and black lace shoes. Gold-rimmed glasses perch on her nose. Charles, a professional wrestler in Duke Frederick's court, wears a red, white and blue tracksuit and white trainers. His brown hair is held in a top knot. Servant Dennis makes a brief appearance. In the palace, we meet strong-willed, forthright Rosalind and devoted Celia, with their hairdresser, Hesperia. Both girls are very slim, Celia a little taller than her cousin. Rosalind is dressed in a white puff sleeve blouse with a large neck bow, a black waspy corset and a black double-layered full skirt of taffeta and net. Almost floor length at the back, the skirt is gathered up at the front to just below black satin shorts. Black fishnet stockings and high-heeled shoes complete her outfit. Rosalind's straight, very long black hair is scraped back into a high ponytail. Wisps of hair curl on her forehead. She wears a small gold ring earring in her right ear. Celia has straight, chin-length, light brown hair, which she tucks behind her ears. She dresses in a white shirt and necktie, dusky blue waistcoat, grey silk jacket, cuffed navy trousers and black-heeled boots. Auburn-haired Hesperia wears a green velvet quilted jacket, black leather trousers and trainers. Cheerful, optimistic and sharp-witted Touchstone is always in outrageously colourful clothes. As master of ceremonies on the fight night, he's dressed as a drag queen with an elaborate curly red wig, heavy makeup and nail varnish. An all-in-one blue bodysuit with crystals is worn with a black corset and red-heeled sparkly boots. A gold pleated wing cape is replaced for the second part of the match by a black velvet tailcoat with a huge shiny red ruff for a collar. Gossip Madame Lebeau brings news. She wears a corseted purple shirt with puff sleeves, black trousers with a green stripe down the seams, and black heeled shoes. Her long brown hair is held in a low ponytail, and she has dark rimmed glasses. Tall Duke Frederick wears a two-piece suit in purple and gold, with a purple shirt, black glitter fur waistcoat, black cowboy boots, and orange shades. His black curly hair falls loosely on his shoulders. He has dark eyebrows and goatee beard. The two wrestlers wear outfits of different colours with various body padding, wrestling boots and cloaks. The referee is in t-shirt, joggers and trainers. The actors playing Duke Frederick and his entourage at court in Act One transform into Duke Senior and his folk in the forest in Act Two. Among the faithful lords who accompany Duke Senior into the forest are Amiens and Jaques. Small in stature, Amiens is cheerful and neatly dressed, plays the guitar and loves to sing. Jaques, a man of the world and a free spirit, has a melancholy disposition, is usually introverted and pessimistic. He stands on the sidelines, watching and judging the actions of other characters. Of medium height, with short, dark, curly hair and beard, he's affected continental manners and dress. Other folk with the Duke are known as outlaws. It's winter, so in the forest, various long top coats, scarves and hats are the order of the day. Contented Duke Senior has a large, dark grey, hooded fur coat and long purple scarf. Rosalind, now disguised as Ganymede, hair close-cropped, wears two-tone green trousers tucked into her red-brown boots, a cream hoodie, denim jacket and navy docker hat. For warmth, a navy parka jacket is also put on. She has a large backpack. Celia, disguised in multicoloured clothes as Aliena, wears two layered pattern skirts, an Afghan coat, stripy tights, brown laced boots and two large scarves. A pale green hooded quilted parka is added for extra warmth. She carries two suitcases and a bag. Even when disguised, we will still call them Rosalind and Celia in the audio description. Touchstone's top layers of winter clothing are a black fur hoodie under a long red and black patterned coat with a black collar, a black and gold neck scarf and head scarf, red frame shades and patent white heeled boots. He carries a vanity case. In winter, Orlando adds a navy hooded jacket and a large pale green parka overcoat. Ada puts on a grey quilted coat and headscarf. Spring comes to Arden in Act 3. Characters shed winter layers of clothing and find new and colourful clothes in bags, on trees and from overhead. New country characters appear, serving as a contrast to the town folk. Silvius, a shepherd suffering the woes of lovesickness, wears breeches with a codpiece, a jumper and wellies. He has an expressive face and often uses his hands when talking. An older shepherd, Corin, in a smock, waistcoat and apron, is very knowledgeable about sheep and their care. Sometimes he carries a crook. Audrey, a simple-minded goat herd who has trouble expressing her thoughts, looks pregnant. Wearing a felt hat, overalls and a bodice over a couple of jackets. She has an anorak tied round her waist. We briefly meet village vicar, Reverend Martex. Three goats are played by actors on all fours, woolly slippers on their feet and sheepskin mules on their hands. Dressed in differing cream and black costumes, with white ruffs round their necks, hats and goatee beards, their behaviour and sounds are most realistic. In Act 4, it's summer. With warmer days now, layers are discarded, clothes are lighter and more casual. Sleeves are short, necklines are open, and some bare flesh is seen. Aliena, for example, wears a pastel-coloured strappy bloomer's jumpsuit. Silvius has discarded his jumper and is in his string vest. Phoebe, a young shepherdess, appears in this season. She wears overalls, a ruched-up skirt, bodice, a deep pink anorak round her waist and matching boots. Her light brown hair is plaited and pinned up, a few strands falling by her ears. A country youth, William, in yellow wellies and peaked cap, walks in with a teenage swagger, earphones and chewing gum. Despite the warmth of late summer, he wears a long yellow padded gilet under a huge orange puffer coat that's been slashed. A few actors make a short appearance in a dream scene as foresters in black masks and a stag with black antlers and gloves. Act 5 brings the end of summer and autumn arrives. As we come to the end of the play and it reaches its climax, the costumes for the final scenes take on a colour theme of cream and black, with all kinds of fabrics and designs, too many for me to describe here. Suffice to say that all the actors appear very happy in their final chosen outfits. Shakespeare's plays are constantly being re-envisioned for new audiences, and this version of As You Like It certainly is for modern times. We hope you enjoy this flamboyant and joyous show when you come to the New Vic on Saturday afternoon, the 26th of February. We will meet you in the foyer before the touch tour, which will start promptly at 1:30 p.m. Please arrive in good time. Please listen on now if you would like to hear the cast list, all actors being new to the New Vic stage, and names of the creative team. Bailey Brook plays Silvius and Charles. Isabel Coward plays Celia. Siobhan Dar is Orlando. Gemma Dobson is Le Beau and Phoebe. Terry J. Donovan is Hesperia and Audrey. Ali Gadima plays both Dukes. Claire Hackett is Ada and Corin. Reuben Johnson, Oliver. Adam Kashmiri, Jaques. Joe Morrow, Touchstone. Joe Patmore plays Amiens and William. And E. M. Williams is Rosalind. The designer is E. M. Parry. Composer, Robert Bentall. Sound designer, James Earls Davis. Lighting designer, Kieran Johnson. The company stage manager is Caroline Sheard. And Laurie Sampson directs this New Vic and Northern Broadsides co-production. Enjoy the show. Thank you.